Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Steve Santacero of the 10th District, and welcome to our telephone town hall this evening with our special guest, our Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, Kathy Bookfar. And Kathy is not only our Secretary of State, but she is a Bucks County native and, in fact, a resident here in the 10th District. So we are very proud of her and what she's doing at the state level, and very glad that she can join us this evening and spend the next hour with us answering questions that you have related to our voting system and the upcoming election. And obviously that's on a lot of people's minds tonight, so it should be a robust call. Welcome, Secretary Bookfar. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on, the Senator. I just want to call you Steve. I hope that's okay.
We're personal friends as well, so we have to, that's fine. I'm happy to have you do that. Before we get started, I'd like to just share a few housekeeping notes. First of all, when you have a question and you're participating, just hit *3 on your phone, and you'll be connected, and you'll be able to pose your question, and Secretary Bookfar or I will be happy to answer it. So *3 is the number. We have some questions that we received in advance of the call, so we'll try to work those in as well. I also want to give you a heads up on some upcoming events that we have that my office is sponsoring here in Bucks County. First of all, on the 14th of October, a week from tonight at 7 p.m., we are going to have our annual College Financial Planning Seminar. This year, obviously, it's going to be virtual. So if you're interested in that, please let my staff know. Nancy Adam is my staff member who is going to be heading that up. You can write to her at nancy.adam, A-D-A-M, at pasenate.com to register for that. And it's really a great event. We have folks who talk about the college financial aid process and how to navigate that. We also have an expert on the admissions process and everything that goes into that. And so it's really it's an evening that I think is very beneficial, whether you have kids that are, you know, in grade school or in high school ready to apply, or you have grandkids and you want to help them, you know, be able to put together the financial wherewithal to go to school. It's really a worthwhile event. So I encourage you to join that. That will be a week from tonight at 7 p.m., October 14th. On the 24th of October, we are offering flu shots at Charles Baim Middle School in Lower Makefield, and that'll be from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's a drive-up flu shot, so we're trying to be very conscious, obviously, of not spreading COVID-19. You can receive health forms, which you need to complete, so you need to email Nancy Adam again. Again, nancy.adam at pasenate.com, and she can get those forms for you that you can fill out ahead of time. And it's a free flu shot if you have insurance. If you don't, it will be $39.99. Without it. So you can always go to my website, SenatorSteveSantacero.com, to get information on these and other events as they move forward. So with that, why don't we dive right into to the elections? And just before we started, Secretary Bookfar, you were sharing with me some really good news regarding registrations, voter registrations here in PA. Can you tell our audience about that?
Yeah, I'm happy to. Thanks, Senator. Excited to say that we have what we think is a record high of voter registrations in Pennsylvania. So we have almost 9 million registered Pennsylvanians to vote. And just so that you have some context, so it's, you know, it's 8,909 or so. And the last time we had even close to this was the highest before this was 2008, and that was 8,755. So we're already, you know, 150,000 above that. And thanks to the historic bipartisan Act 77 passed last year, we still have an extra 12 days even from now to register. So I want to encourage everybody. I would like to see us break 9 million. That would be truly phenomenal in Pennsylvania. And so you should get everybody you know who's not registered to vote to do so.
absolutely. That's fantastic news, and thank you for sharing that with us. Again, *3 is what you need to press on your phone to be connected to ask a question of Secretary Bookvar. *3. Secretary, I've got a question that came in before our call tonight. I want to start with that, if we could. So this person applied for a mail-in ballot, but wants now to vote in person. Can they do that, and if so, how?
Yes. So thanks to, we've had lots of change, lots of great voter reform in Pennsylvania over the last year. So there's actually a brand new procedure that's taking effect for the first time this year. So if you've got your mail-in ballot and you've decided, you know what, I want to vote in person on Election Day, hold on to your whole ballot. So when I say the whole ballot, hold on to the outer envelopes and the inner envelopes and your ballot. And just when you go on Election Day to your polling place, you'll go in the regular line as if you're just checking in like any voter. And when you get to the checkout person, the poll worker, what you'll do is you'll say, I apply for mail-in ballot, but I have not cast it. I'd like to surrender it and vote by regular voting system. They'll take your ballot. They'll have you sign a declaration. You'll assert that you have not, in fact, already voted. And then you'll be able to sign the poll book and vote just as if you normally would. So again, just bring the whole package with you on Election Day. And if you don't save your ballot or you forget it or you lose it, you can still go vote in person as long as you haven't cast it. You can go in person. When you check in, they'll tell you that you have to vote by provisional ballot, which is just another form of paper ballot. You'll go off to the side, you'll fill it out, and that ballot, the provisional ballot, will only be counted if they don't find another ballot having been cast for you. So either way, you can vote in person on Election Day if you change your mind.
Great, thank you for that. So you have to bring in the ballot and the two envelopes that will come to you in the mail, and give that to the poll worker. When you get there, sign the declaration, you'll sign the book, and they will give you your ballot as if you were voting ordinarily in person, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, great. That's simple, so just remember that. You've got to, you have to save all three, the ballot and the two envelopes. All right, our first caller this evening is Ed from Morrisville. Ed, you're on the line with Secretary Bookvar. Go ahead and ask your question.
How you doing?
Good.
I applied for a mail-in ballot in August, and I still haven't received it. I checked online, and it says pending. When should we be getting them from Bucks County? A lot of people in my household and my relatives haven't gotten them either.
Right. Good question, Ed. Secretary, can you answer that?
I can. I actually just checked in on that today. We've been following up with all the counties, and Bucks County, I believe, is mailing out absentee ballots tomorrow and starting to mail out mail-in ballots on Friday. So you should get your email. If you signed up for an email confirmation, you should get that, you know, within a short period of time, within a couple of days. And then, you know, it will tell you if you don't get your ballot within a certain period of time, call after that. But what I've heard is that the delivery has been normal time. So once the ballots are mailed, you should get it. I would think if your ballot is mailed Friday or Saturday, you should get it some point next week. But you can always call Bucks County Board of Elections if you have further questions.
Absolutely. And Ed, keep us in the loop, too. We're happy to help in any way that we can. Thank you for that question. Again, *3, and you will be connected this evening to Secretary Kathy Bookvar, our Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, who will be happy to answer your questions regarding the balloting system and the upcoming election. So next on the line, we have Betsy from New Hope. Betsy, welcome. How are you tonight?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you.
Go ahead and ask your question.
My question is, thinking about the volume of voters we're going to be having statewide, is it possible for the state to get us additional help counting the mail-in ballots on Election Eve, starting on Election Eve? I know we can't start counting before then. And I was really talking to my husband about this, and he said, yeah, you know, maybe it would be possible to get a group of volunteers from a nonpartisan group like the National Guard. That could be very helpful. So I wanted to get your opinion.
Sure, I'm happy to weigh in on that too, but let me turn first to Secretary Bookvar.
Yeah, so thank you. So from Act 12 of 2020, which was passed in March, actually allow counties to start what they call pre-canvassing those ballots at 7 a.m. on Election Day. So, but maybe the Senator will give us some updates, because I understand there's still some element of hope, though I'm not sure how much. We've been pushing for months and months and months, and thank you, Senator, for your leadership, because I know you support this, to allow counties to be starting that pre-canvassing, you know, weeks ahead of Election Day, which would make sense. We'll probably end up with close to 10 times the number of mail-in and absentee ballots being cast than we normally do in any other presidential year. So obviously it would be very helpful for the counties to be able to start earlier. That's what other states do. The legislature, the Republican leadership in the legislature has not moved that forward, and I hope that they will, and maybe, Senator, you have some updates on that. But the counties have all been hiring like crazy. They have to have people who have been trained in counting. They have to be, you know, they have to be sworn election officials who know how to carry out this process. Generally, it's not something that volunteers necessarily are part of, but that's not to say that people volunteering, that there's not lots of roles that they might be hired for relating to elections, like being a poll worker. So, Senator, I don't know if you have anything to add or whether you have any information on potential legislation.
Sure. So let me first say about what's happening here in Bucks County, Betsy. I understand from Commissioner Bob Harvey of the County Commissioners that Bucks has purchased now, I believe, 10 machines that can process for counting purposes 1,000 ballots an hour. And that's great news. That's going to help them expedite the counting of the mail-in ballots. They also have a machine that helps with the processing that Secretary Bookvar is referring to, which is the opening and the sorting of the ballots. That's not the counting. That's that pre-processing step. And that machine, I believe, processes 40,000 ballots an hour. So they are... they are in good position here in Bucks to get things ready for 8 o'clock when the counting can begin. Moreover, as the Secretary just alluded to, they have plenty of staff that they've hired to do this work, and they intend to be there around the clock. They're going to keep the office open until all the ballots are counted. So, you know, depending upon how many mail-in and absentee ballots come to the courthouse at the end of the day, hopefully by sometime late on Wednesday at the latest, we would have a final count, not a certified count, but a final count of the vote here in Bucks County, both based on the machines on Election Day and also the mail-in and absentee ballots. With respect to this issue of when the counties can start to do the pre-canvass processing, that is something that our Democratic caucus in the state Senate and our Democratic colleagues in the state House have been pushing to give counties more time to do that. I have a bill that would give them 21 days prior to the election to do that, and obviously now we're only 27 days out before the election, so that's probably not going to happen. But there's still a chance that we could get legislation that would give counties, say, 3 to 5 days additional time prior to the election to do that processing. That would make a huge difference for the counties, the 67 counties here in Pennsylvania, particularly counties like Philadelphia, where there's going to be just a tremendous amount of mail-in and absentee ballots to count. Where that stands, we had hoped early this week that there was some progress along those lines. By the time we broke from session in the Senate yesterday afternoon, that seems to have evaporated. We are back in on the 19th of October, so there is still an opportunity that week to perhaps pass that legislation and get it to the governor's desk in time. But I have to be candid. I'm not optimistic that that's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen in this cycle, I would not give up on it. I would still try to do that for the future. But it's a shame because this should not be a partisan issue. I mean, getting counties in a position where they can process the ballots and then count them quickly when the polls close on election night is something that's, I think, in everyone's interest. All right, so *3 is the way that you are connected this evening. And next we have, waiting very patiently on the line, Rita from Yardley. Good evening, Rita. Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead and ask your question, Rita. Thank you.
My question is about the drop-off boxes. So we fill out our ballots correctly. We take them to the drop-off box. Is there something we have to sign? Can one person take several ballots, or must it be done individually?
So, and Secretary, correct me if I'm wrong about this. There's nothing you have to sign beyond how you would prepare your ballot to, if you were mailing it. You have to do it individually, though. It's only one person, one ballot, dropped off at the drop box location. And they will have someone monitoring that at the three locations here in Bucks County.
That's correct, Senator, on both points. You do not need to sign anything, aside from make sure, of course, you sign the outside of your outer envelope, because your vote won't be counted unless you sign that. But at the drop-off location, you will not need to sign anything else.
But can I take...
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah, I think she was going to ask whether she could take, and I'm sorry, Rita, that you got cut off there, but the answer is no. You can only take your ballot with you to be dropped off, so you can't take your husband's or your you know, if you have a someone else living in the house, you can't take that person's ballot. It has to be just one person, one ballot. So.
And I'll just say, Senator, that there is one exception to that, and that's if you're a voter with a disability. So if you're a voter with a disability, go to votespa.com. We have agent forms, agent designation forms. You sign, your agent signs, and then you can have somebody deliver your ballot for you. You know, or if you're in a hospital or something like that, you can have somebody deliver it for you. But if you're not a voter with a disability, then you do need to deliver your own ballot.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. That's an important point for folks to know as well. Thanks. So again, *3 to be connected this evening and be part of the conversation. We're happy to have you with us, and thank you for participating tonight. Next, we have Irene from New Hope. Irene, you're next.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm concerned about election fraud and the mail and the ballots that are being stolen. I understand in the Senate there were destroyed over 1 million ballots during the primary race for the United States Senate. And I see just about every day where somebody is caught taking hundreds or thousands of ballots and destroying them or just ditching them. And I'm wondering, how can we put a stop to this?
Well, Irene, I guess my first question is where you're seeing that, because there has not been any reporting of widespread activity like that I've seen throughout the country. Unless, you know, Secretary Bookvar, you've heard something about that. I'm not familiar with that, and I'm not sure which Senate race that was.
No, I agree, Senator. There's not any widespread evidence of that. Certainly there was no U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania in the primary. But fraud is actually extremely rare. And let me tell you a little bit about how Pennsylvania does things that I think is really important for you for everybody to understand. Sometimes, first of all, there's so much misinformation out there in social media, in the press. And it's really important to know, like, the actual facts about Pennsylvania. So we don't send ballots to voters unless they apply. And there are other states that are entirely vote-by-mail states, and they do send out ballots without applications. That's not Pennsylvania. So in order for somebody to even receive a ballot in Pennsylvania, you have to fill out an application, give your driver's license ID number or the last four digits of your Social Security number. You have to give your information about your address and your personal information. Before you even get mailed a ballot, you're checked for eligibility against either the Social Security database or the PennDOT database, as well as against your voter record. And only if you're determined eligible does anybody send you a ballot. Then that ballot is specifically identified for you. It's got a barcode on it, on the outside of the envelope. So after you fill it out and cast it, on the receiving end, the county has another level of eligibility checking. They're scanning that code. They're looking to see that you are, in fact, somebody that requested that ballot. And then they're making sure that you're eligible and that you signed a voter's declaration. So there's a lot of steps involved that make sure that every eligible voter has their ballot counted accurately and safely, and that nobody who hasn't been determined eligible, and there's challenges that can be made, and there's a public meeting, you know, there's lots of processes involved. This is not something that's actually happening. And, you know, again, I urge you, before you trust any information you see in social media, check votespa.com, check your county election office. You can call 877-VOTES-PA. That's our toll-free number. Don't believe the hype. Most of it is wrong.
So you're saying that nobody can get to those ballot boxes and do anything?
Correct.
You're talking about the drop boxes? Oh, go ahead, Senator.
Right. Yeah, no, the drop boxes, that's correct. There is supervision at the drop boxes. Every night the ballots are taken out and taken up to the courthouse in Doylestown. There is nothing that can be done to cause any mischief with those. That process worked well in the springtime. And, you know, the vote-by-mail system is something that's, on this scale, it's new in Pennsylvania. We've always had absentee ballot system here. It has worked well without any evidence of any fraud. Other states have had vote-by-mail for many years, including some, as the Secretary just said, in which everyone gets a ballot. In fact, that's the only way you vote. And those states have had a good experience with it without any kind of tampering or issues like that. And in fact, you know, it's folks on both sides of the aisle, both nationally and here in the state, have acknowledged that our vote-by-mail system and those of other states are safe and reliable. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the U.S. Senate, has said that. Here at home, Jake Corman, who is our Republican leader in the state Senate, you might have seen he was on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago, and he said that, you know, our mail-in ballot system, our vote-by-mail system here in Pennsylvania is completely safe and works just fine. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about making sure that everyone gets the opportunity to vote this year, that their votes are counted, and there aren't any issues with that, because it is as the Secretary just described, it is it's a system that has a lot of steps involved with it, and that is designed in part to address the kinds of concerns that you've raised, Irene. But it's also a system that, because it has all those steps, there are lots of opportunities for someone, a completely valid voter who has an absolute right to cast a vote for whoever, can make a mistake, and then that vote, and whether that vote is counted, becomes imperiled. So that's a problem. And so, for example, we have the problem of the naked ballot. And Secretary, you might want to describe what that is and how that becomes a problem.
Sure. And there's a lot of very creative naked videos out there with celebrities and others. going naked to demonstrate that we should not allow our ballots to be naked. So I urge you to look for those because they're really fun.
And I will not be doing that anytime soon, by the way. Just to be clear.
Why. I made that very clear. But we'll leave that to others. So in the meantime, we'll just explain it. But it's very simple. It's just, you know, it just, you have to follow the steps. So when you get your ballot in the mail, it will have a ballot, you'll have instructions, and you'll have two envelopes. So there'll be an inner white, what's called a secrecy envelope. And it's purely white envelope, and all it will say is something like official election ballot. And so after you fill out your ballot, you first put it in that inner white envelope, seal it, don't make any marks, and then put that whole white inner secrecy envelope in the outer envelope and seal it. And it's that outer envelope that you'll sign, put the information for the voter's declaration, and that's how they'll check and make sure you're an eligible voter. But if you leave out that inner white envelope, your ballot will not be counted. And so it's really, really critically important that you tell everybody you know, do not leave your ballot naked. Make sure it's clothed in that inner white secrecy envelope.
So that's the problem of the naked ballot. And it's important. It's important. You're going to get two envelopes. You got to use both. And the idea is that secrecy envelope is just, you know, what the term means. The ballot is supposed to remain secret. So that has to, your ballot, your actual ballot that you fill out has to go into that. And then it goes into the outer envelope where you put information on that outer envelope. Again, if you want to just go in person and vote on election day and you've applied for a mail-in ballot and you get one, you need to have all three of those with you when you go. You need to have the actual ballot plus the secrecy envelope and the outer envelope, and you surrender that to the poll worker and sign the declaration when you get there. Again, star 3 to be connected this evening, star 3. And next on the line, we have Terry from Yardley. Terry, you're live with Secretary Bookvar. Go ahead.
Hi. I have two really quick questions.
Sure. Go ahead.
First, I was told last night by a few friends that Montgomery County, Chester County, they're opening up their polling places prematurely, like not November 3rd, so you can drop your ballots off there if you don't want to drive to Doylestown or to one of these lock boxes. Is there any truth in that in Bucks County, up where I live? Is there, you know, they told me where they live, you're allowed to go to your polling place and turn in your vote, your ballot when it comes. Is that true, or is there no truth to that?
And we'll keep you on the line, Terry, because I know you have a second question. So the answer is every county is having making its own rule with respect to where those drop box locations are going to be. So in Bucks, we have three. We have one in Lower Bucks, one at the courthouse in Doylestown, and then one in Upper Bucks. There are other counties that have many more than that. And they may be choosing to do it at polling locations. I don't know exactly. I think initially Chester County was looking at doing it at district justice offices. I'm not sure ultimately what they decided to do. Montgomery County, likewise, I think has a variety of different locations that they're looking at. So that's all they're talking about. They're just talking about having more drop box locations that you can use prior to election day.
Okay, thank you. My second quick question is, don't you think it's come time that we've had voting day for the President of the United States declared a holiday so that everybody can get that chance to vote, perhaps an entire day on a Sunday or something like that, where they don't have to, they can't, you know, where you don't have people that can't leave work, that are, you know, waiting in lines and have to turn away and leave? And I just think it should be declared a national holiday.
Yeah,
it's so serious.
I'm with you, Terry. I think we need to make it easier for people to vote, not harder. You know, having the polls open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. You know, is not always the most convenient thing for people if they have long commutes. I used to when I was practicing law, and you know, if I didn't vote first thing in the morning, I had to rush to get back at night to vote by 8 o'clock. You're absolutely right. It should be. In fact, I think we should absolutely have early voting. And I think what the secretary was about to share, and I'll turn to her in just a minute, is the fact that What we have now under the law is the ability for counties to set up remote voting locations where people can go prior to Election Day and basically ask for a mail-in ballot, sign the application form right there, give it to a county worker who verifies the person's identity and their voting status, then gives back a ballot right there that the person can then fill out, put in the secrecy envelope, and then put in the outer envelope and hand back to the county worker, and in essence, vote right there and then. Now, the vote's not tabulated at that point, but that is kind of the functional equivalent of early voting, not really dissimilar from, you know, putting your ballot in the mail. But some counties are having those locations as well, and in fact, they're doing that here in Bucks at the three locations where the drop boxes are, I believe. Is that correct, Secretary?
Yes. So, it really is very much like early voting. It's actually how I'm going to vote this year. Actually, this week, Bucks County opened its satellite offices, and I'm going to go to the one in Doylestown. And I've called ahead. I know what your hours are. Good. Yeah. And you go. It's really super easy. You go in person. You fill out your application. They check your eligibility while you stand there. They give you your ballot. You fill it out. You hand it in. You're done. And weeks ahead of Election Day, right? So you can do it at your convenience. I'm looking at the Bucks County Board of Elections website. They not only tell you all the hours on this website, but they even have a sign-up genius link. So let's say you want to make an appointment ahead of time so you don't have to wait. You can actually make an appointment ahead of time, which is very cool, and I hope lots of counties do that. You don't have to make an appointment, but it's like when you go to the emergency, health centers where you can make the appointment or you could walk in person. Same thing for early voting. So urge you to do it that way. That way you just get it done on your schedule weeks and weeks ahead of Election Day.
Great. Well, that's thank you for sharing that. And Terry, thank you for your questions. *3 to be connected tonight and to ask a question of Secretary Bookvar. We're going to go back to the phones in just a minute, but I do want to go back to some of the questions that we received ahead of time see if Secretary Bookvar can answer them. This one is about the Postal Service, and it asks whether the Postal Service will have the capacity to deliver all the ballots back to the Board of Elections in a timely manner. What has been done to make sure mail-in ballots postmarked by Election Day will be counted?
Great question. So the key here is don't wait. So, technically the deadline for applying for mail-in ballot is October 27th, but I want to say that and then take it back because I don't want anybody to be applying for mail-in ballot on October 27th. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Don't wait. If you get your application in now and you fill out your ballot and send it back by mail, by the way, we at the Department of State provided funding to all the counties, so we are prepaying postage at no cost to the counties, no cost to taxpayers, so that you all don't even have to go to the post office. You don't have to go wait in line somewhere. You can just stick it in a mailbox if you don't stick it in a drop box, free postage. So I do have confidence that the Postal Service will be able to deliver the ballots, but I do really want to make sure that everybody doesn't wait. Now, we did have the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, because we were concerned about the mail delays, we did ask the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to grant this year, because of the mail delays, to allow ballots that are postmarked by Election Day to be counted as long as they're received by the Friday after Election Day. So the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did grant that. So we do have that this year. As long as you deliver it and have it postmarked by Tuesday, November 3rd, and it's received by the county November 6th, you're good. Your ballot will be counted. So having said all that, don't wait. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Take care of it. Get it done. And then you don't have to worry at all.
Right. And remember, you can just bypass all of this and do the old-fashioned thing, which is actually what I'm going to do, which is just go to my polling place on Election Day and vote in person. That's an option, too. And obviously, if you're You want to be really careful. You want to make sure there's no question that you're going to be able to vote. You can apply for the ballot, and as the Secretary explained, you can still go and vote in person on Election Day if you bring the ballot with the two envelopes with you at that time. So thank you for that. Now we're going to go back to the phones. Again, it's star 3 to be connected to us this evening. Next, we have Wendy from Newtown. Wendy, welcome, and please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. I heard rumors that on the outside of the mail-in ballots, it has a D for Democrat or R for Republican. Is that true?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be fair to the independents.
I was going to say.
Yeah, right.
And when I heard that, I said, well, then that's not a secret envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No worries. It is not designated on the outer envelope in any way, or on the internet, or on any of it. The only time your party is relevant is for the primary, because as you know, we are a closed primary state, so Democrats can vote in the Democratic primary, Republicans can vote in the Republican primary, and that's it. But for the general election, it's nobody's business. Whatever you are, you can vote for whoever you are, and you never have to worry about somebody identifying you in any way.
Okay, great.
And I will say, for the record, I am a supporter of open primaries to allow anyone to vote in a primary, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or not affiliated with any party at all. Many states have gone to open primary systems, and they've done so without any problems, and I think Pennsylvania ought to do the same thing. Because if you're an independent, you don't get a voice in the primary, and I think that's not good at the end of the day. Very quickly, before we take our next call, I just want to go through and identify the three locations in Bucks County where you can drop your ballot. The Upper Bucks Government Services Center, which is located at 261 California Road in Quakertown, is the Upper Bucks location. Central Bucks is the administration building, the old courthouse at 55 East Court Street in Doylestown. And in Lower Bucks, it is in Levittown at 7321 New Falls Road in Levittown. The drop box hours are as follows, from October 5th through the 26th, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then from the 27th to November 2nd, the day before Election Day, they have extended hours. That will be 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. And then on Election Day itself, you can still use the drop boxes from 8 a.m. to when the polls otherwise close at 8 p.m. And again, we have all this information. You can go to my website, which is senatorstevesantisiro.com/votes, and we will have, or vote rather, and we will have information there for you in case you didn't get all that. So again, star 3 to connect tonight with my special guest, PA Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar. Next we have Joe from Lower Midfield. Joe, welcome, and go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you for hosting this forum tonight. Secretary, thank you for being here. My question is for the Secretary. For those of us who plan on voting on Election Day in person, hopefully fully clothed, will there be an expectation that voters will need to provide any kind of photo identification or verification of residency at the polling place?
Great question, and I'm so glad that you're going to vote clothed, because that may be something that they would actually exclude you. I'm not
probably
sure there's a constitutional right to vote naked, but I love the context. So in Pennsylvania, the only time you can be asked for ID, the only time it's required that you show ID, is when it's the first time that you'll be voting in person in that precinct. So, you know, even if you've been voting in Pennsylvania in a different location for 50 years, if you move to a new place, it's your first time in the precinct, you do have to show ID. Aside from that, ID is not required, and you can't be required to submit it. So when you go in, they'll check you in the poll book, just like everybody. You sign the poll book, and then you'll be allowed to vote by regular ballot. And Senator, if I may, I'd love to also add, why all the things that we're providing to the counties to make sure that the in-person voting is safe on Election Day. Can I talk about those?
Yeah, please do, because I did want to add that before we end tonight, because I know obviously people have concerns about that. Yes, so please do.
So, yeah, so we want to, you know, and really it's Pennsylvanians have more choices than they've ever had on how to vote, you know, it, because thanks to Act 77 passed last fall. And so as we've already talked about, you could vote by mail, you could vote early in person, but of course you can always vote in person on Election Day on November 3rd. But what we wanted to make sure at the Department of State is that the counties all had masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, face shields, the plastic dividers that they call sneeze guards, tape to mark social distance, you know, disinfectant spray to wipe down the tables and the voting systems to make a completely safe environment. So we've provided that at no cost to the counties, so they'll have plenty for all the polling places. So, you know, when you go in, treat it like you would if you go to the bank or you go to the supermarket, wear a mask, you know, maintain your social distance, wash your hands before you go, wash your hands afterwards, but know that the entire circumstance is going to be safe, secure, and accessible for everyone.
That's great. And again, that's why you know, to the Secretary's point, we have so many options this year. As I said earlier, I'm going to go in person and vote. I feel comfortable with that. I'm sure that you know, it'll be a safe environment. So make sure, you know, whatever you do, just vote. And no matter who you are, who you're going to vote for, it's just important that you vote. Many people in this world don't have the right to do that, and people have over time fought and died for that right. And you know, we have, a civic duty and a patriotic duty to our country at the end of the day to do that. Let me just note before we go to our next caller that those three locations that I talked about before, the Upper Bucks location at 261 California Road in Quakertown, the Central Bucks location at 55 East Court Street in Doylestown, and the Lower Bucks location at 7321 New Falls Road in Levittown, are the places during those hours, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, that you can go and request a ballot, as we talked about earlier, and essentially cast your vote right then and there. And so, you know, you can use them as drop-off locations, but you can also use them as a location to request your ballot and vote right then and there, if that's what you choose to do. Okay, star 3, we have about 15 minutes left on our call this evening, so plenty of time to get to more calls and questions that you have. Next on the line is Catherine from Doylestown. Catherine, welcome, and please ask your question.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this and for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I originally did plan on voting by mail, and I changed my mind. I'm going to go and do it in person. I just want to make sure, I've heard other places they have like a shortage of poll workers because they're usually older and obviously the coronavirus is a threat. Do we actually have enough poll workers to open all of our polling locations in the county, or are we still looking for people? Is there a chance they won't all be open?
My understanding, and Secretary, you can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that the polling locations will be open, and they will have staff sufficient to be able to accommodate voters as they come in. Am I right about that, Secretary?
You are. That's my understanding as well. Having said that, you know, there's oftentimes, you know, a random vacancy. Somebody may get sick, may be unable to do it. So if you're able and willing to consider volunteering as a poll worker, go to votespa.com and look up the poll, you know, volunteer to be a poll worker, and you can sign up right on our website. We will connect you with Bucks County in this case, but if you're from somewhere else, we'll connect you wherever your county is, and that way they know that you're able and available should they have a vacancy. But I have to just give a shout out to, we have literally gotten 51,000 poll worker volunteers in Pennsylvania just since the primary. So just a huge outpouring of support by so many Pennsylvanians, and I really, can't thank you all enough, because you are what make democracy run. So yes, I think we'll be totally fine here in Bucks County and around the Commonwealth. But please, if you're able to do it, sign up anyway in case you're needed. Thank you.
Okay, great. That's great. Thank you for the question. Before we head back to the phones, we have another question that we received in advance, and it's an interesting question, and I think will result in some discussion. There have been a number of media reports that it could take weeks to count all the ballots in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure that's actually true, but we'll talk about that. Can you talk about the plans Bucks County and others in the Southeast have put in place to ensure that the vote is counted in a timely manner? So I did talk a little bit about that a moment ago, about the machines that they've purchased. Also, can you talk about the legislature's role in assigning electors if there is not a finalized vote count and the likelihood that would happen? Okay.
So
you want to take first,
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll start with the first. I want to really praise all the counties in the Southeast who have been doing just a tremendous job at preparing for this huge influx of ballots. And, you know, the counties were doing it for the first time in the sense of this kind of volume, right? And just to give you the context, in the 2016 primary, we had 84,000 absentee ballots statewide. And in the 2020 primary, we had almost 1.5 million ballots statewide. So you can imagine going from 84,000 to 1.5 million is quite a big change. But really, the day after they finished counting in the primary, the counties moved on to preparing for the general. And as the senator mentioned, they've gotten equipment that some of us, you know, had never heard of before 2020. Who knew there were machines called envelopers? But there are. And Bucks County and all the counties in the Southeast got lots of equipment, are staffing up, and as the senator mentioned, amazingly, are going to work 24/7 until every ballot is counted. So that's something that I wish we didn't have to do, and the legislature could avoid that by passing the bill that Senator Sanciro was a leader on from the get-go. And it's very disappointing that that hasn't happened. But we're going to cross our fingers that maybe there's still some chance of at least some advance counting. But for the latter part of your question, look, we are focused on, we have every reason to believe that the ballots are going to be counted, the overwhelming majority of ballots are going to be counted in a matter of days, not a matter of weeks. And the counties are committed to that. The Department of State is providing support to all the counties to make sure that we can help in every way possible. And I will fight on every front to make sure that it is the voters of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who select the electors and select our next president of the United States.
Amen to that. And that's something, you have my word, that I will fight for as well. Pennsylvania has a rule that the winner of the popular vote in the state is awarded our electoral votes. And there is no reason for the legislature to try to insert itself into that process for all the reasons that Secretary Bookfar just alluded to. We should have a result within a matter of days, not weeks. But frankly, even if it were weeks, we would be in a position ultimately to declare a winner based on the popular vote before the electors were to meet in December. There is an argument, I don't think it's a good argument, that the legislature can unilaterally change that rule. If we cross that bridge when we get to it, hopefully we will not get to it. Candidly, I think it's going to be clear who the winner is in this state, and whoever it is, whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden, and at the end of the day, the electors will go to that person. I'm not particularly worried about it, although I will say that those of us who are committed to that idea that the that the will of the people needs to be followed will not rest until that happens. But I'm hoping we're not going to get to that point. All right. Well, thank you. We have another caller on the line. Again, *3 to be connected with us this evening, *3. And we have Jaydeep from New Hope. Jaydeep, welcome, and please ask your question.
Oh, thank you, Senator. Thank you, Secretary. Jaydeep from Yardley. Just my question was partly answered. That's okay. In that the mail-in ballots are being mailed out on this Friday. So does that mean that no matter when I submitted my application for that online, everybody will be receiving it next week?
So not all of them will be going out on Friday, but they will be going out over the next several days after that. So I believe you should be getting your ballot sometime in the next, what should we say, Secretary, week and a half or so?
I would say week and a half, yeah. It should be about 10 days, I would think, from, yeah.
Okay, so I will not be late in terms of dropping them, because I just heard that even on the election day, I'm able to drop them off at the Levittown location, which is closest for me.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again, and look.
Thanks, Jaydeep. I'm sorry you got cut off there just for a minute. I'm sorry that I said you were from New Hope and not Yardley, but they're two great communities, and I'm very proud to represent both of them in the state Senate. Again, *3 to connect you tonight to our conversation and to ask a question of Secretary Kathy Buchvar, our Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania and a resident of Bucks County in the 10th District. *3 to connect this evening. While we, looks like we have another person asking a question. So we have Joy from Yardley. Joy, you are live with us this evening. Go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. I became concerned about the mail-in ballot when the president was making noise, and then I read the Atlantic Monthly article about the Republican-led state legislature trying to do something, get involved in the election. And so I'd like to just sort of hear both of you discuss if you have any concerns about, I mean, you've been talking that the mail-in ballot is secure, but I have determined that I'm going to take my mail-in ballot and go vote in person on Election Day because I want it counted, and I don't want to have any concern that my ballot isn't being counted. Because the president was even talking about confiscating mail-in ballots that hadn't been counted by a certain time. Crazy, I know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we are in that point now in a campaign season. I know when I'm running for office, and I'm not running for office this year, but I know we always call it the silly season. You're at that point where all kinds of accusations are made between candidates, and there's a lot of noise that's happening right now. I think you just need to tune it out. The information that Secretary Buchvar has provided tonight is accurate. If you have any questions about our voting system this year, the relatively new vote-by-mail system, or going to the polls and what that entails, you can always reach out to the Board of Elections in the county, or you can always reach out to the Secretary of State's office in Harrisburg. You're fine whatever you wind up deciding to do, Joy, whether it's vote in person or fill out your ballot and mail it in or drop it off at a drop box. I'm pretty confident your vote will be counted. So it's just a matter of making sure that that you do it as quickly as you can and not wait. As Secretary Buchvar said earlier, don't wait until the 27th of October to apply for a ballot. If that's what you want to do, do it today. You can go tomorrow, frankly, you can go tomorrow and go to one of these locations in the county and ask for a ballot and fill it out and hand it right back in right then and there and essentially vote. So there are lots of ways you can do it this year. And they're safe. They are not subject to fraud, and it will be At the end of the day, when all the votes are counted, I'm confident that we will have a fair result in terms of the process, and we will continue to, you know, move forward. So let's see. We have on the line Charles. I'm not sure where Charles lives, but Charles, you are live with Secretary Kathy Bookvar. Go ahead and ask your question.
Good evening. Thank you both for hosting tonight's event. Our question was, we will be voting, my wife and I will be voting in person. However, we do have a daughter at university out down south. And with an absentee ballot, if with some of the more recent delays with the U.S. Postal Service, if she receives that late, are there options for other carriers to send that back, or must that be postmarked through the U.S. Postal Service for her vote?
That's a great question. Secretary, do you want to answer that?
You can have her, if she needs to overnight it or something like that, that's totally fine. Because, you know, particularly if you overnight it or do two-day mail, you know, it's, you have the tracking, you know, even I think these days, even Priority Mail has tracking, but I think if you're going to bother, you might as well get the ones with the guarantee where it says it will be received by this date. And that way you have that tracking. The postmark, and actually the Supreme Court decision made it clear that even if a ballot, let's say the Postal Service accidentally doesn't postmark, which is very, very rare, or if it's illegible, as long as it's received by November 6th, there's a presumption that it was mailed by the 3rd. So I would just say, you know, however she sends it, make sure if she puts the whole inside part into that, you know, whether it's FedEx or UPS, make sure she doesn't leave out any of the regular ballot envelopes, because those all still need to be maintained. So, but yes, totally fine to send it overnight mail or two-day mail if she needs to.
Excellent. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so that's a great point to remember, that she still has to use the secrecy envelope. She still has to put that into the outer envelope and then put it into whatever carrier's envelope she will use to get it there in a more expedited way. Great question. Thank you very much for that. I think we have time just for one more question, because we're just about at 7 o'clock, and we have Marianne from Doylestown. Marianne, you're live. Go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much. Sure. And for the entire evening, it's been very informational. I will be voting in person on Election Day, and I know there are new voting machines this year with different ways of voting. Is there an instructional guidelines online somewhere that would give me directions on what to expect on how to get my vote processed on Election Day at the polls?
Want me to take that, Senator?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so great question. There are. We actually at the Department of State decided to create 67 individualized web pages, one for each county, because we wanted voters to be able to know before they stepped in the door exactly what to expect. So if you go to votespa.com, click on Bucks, the Bucks dropdown, where it shows new voting systems. And it will have instructions, step-by-step instructions. You'll have links to videos. And if you're a voter with a disability, we list out the accessibility options for voters so that they know before they go in what options are available to them. So, yes, you can find all that information on our website at votespa.com.
Nice.
Great. Thank you.
You did not set that question up with Marianne, did you, Senator Bookvar?
I'm so grateful that she asked.
That she asked a question. I can verify that was not planned. But thank you for that response. And Marianne, that was a great question, because I'm sure a lot of folks are going to ask that. And frankly, I have not used the new machines either, because I voted by mail in the primary. And, you know, so it's great that there's that resource out there. Thank you, Secretary, for putting that together, and your department for doing such a great job on that. But remember, there are poll workers there, too, and they will be more than happy to help folks, particularly if they're voting for the first time with these machines. So hard to believe an hour has gone by, and there have been some really good questions, and obviously people are very concerned this year with this election being that it is such a important presidential election year, to make sure that their votes do in fact count and that they're able to have their voices heard. And so we're very, very grateful again, Secretary Bookvar, that you had the time to spend with us tonight to answer these questions. So thank you very much for that.
Happy to. Thank you, Senator, for all your leadership on these key issues.
Thank you for that. And I want to thank all of you who participated tonight. If you weren't able to get through with a question, you can still leave a question after we conclude tonight. And our office will work to get responses to you in the next day or two. And obviously, you can still go to our website at SenatorSteveSanicero.com/vote to get more information about all the issues we were talking about tonight and the upcoming election process. So thank you all very much. Thank you for participating. Again, Secretary Bookvar, thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight. And have a good night, everyone. Take care.
Good night. Thank you.